This passage from Joshua 24 has probably one of those verses that makes a really good bumper sticker. That's Joshua 24:15. Choose this day whom you will serve. As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Maybe you've seen this on a poster or on some kind of fancy wood carving at somebody's house. Maybe the kind of thing you would put over where you hang your coats as you come in the door. It's probably one of the most, if not the most, quoted verse from Joshua. And you'll notice in our reading, though, that we skip some verses. It goes verses 1 to 2a, and then it jumps to verses 14 to 18. And it's one of those things where, reading it, I can hear the voice of Paul Harvey saying, "And now for the rest of the story." Because there's a lot of meat there in those verses that that our reading skips over that lead into what we have before us. And you need to know that stuff. If you look at verse 14 in Joshua 24, you'll see it says, "Now therefore." And this is your first signifier that you should look at what comes before that. Because anytime you see the words "therefore" in Scripture, you should ask yourself a question. What is the "therefore" there for? It's there for a reason. And it is the rest of the story. Joshua, the writer of the book of Joshua, has been leading the people of God for a long time. He is the person that came after Moses. You know Moses, he saved the people in Egypt by the hand of God, brought them out of slavery. He was the instrument through which God brought the 10 plagues to Egypt. He was the one who was there to put a staff in the water, and the water separated so the people of God could cross the Red Sea on dry land. He led the people of God throughout the wilderness wanderings for 40 years, but he never got to take the people to the Promised Land. That was the job of Joshua. Joshua succeeded Moses in that and led the people once they got into the Promised Land and led them into battle with those people that were already there. So Joshua has led the people for a long time. He has seen a lot of things. And the people of God, the Israelites, were incredibly faithful under his leadership. But now, in Joshua 24, he is about to die. And before he dies, he wants to give these people, his family, basically, some final words, kind of a final sermon before he leaves them forever. And the part that we skip is the bulk of that sermon. And that sermon is basically a retelling of the people's history with God, how they got to where they are, the important pieces of that story. And he gives them God's own word. He says in verse 2a, "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, long ago your ancestors served other gods." This is the part that we skip. But this is the word that God says. God says, "But I took them. I plucked your ancestors out away from serving false gods. I gave them promises that they would be a mighty people, that they would have this land you now stand in, that you have now conquered. After your people went to Egypt, I sent Moses to them. I plagued Egypt. I delivered you out of the hand of slavery. And when the Egyptians pursued you, I put darkness between you and them, and made the sea come upon them and cover them. You saw what I did in Egypt," God says. "When you came into the Promised Land, people fought with you, but I gave them into your hand. I destroyed them," says God. "One man tried to curse you, but I even turned his curse into a blessing. I delivered you out of his hand as well. The Amorites, the Perizzites, the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites fought against you, I gave them into your hand. Through Joshua, God reminds the people of all that he has done for them time and time and time again. Over a course of, I think this reaches a thousand years or so, God was continually with the people. Had he done nothing, these people known as the Israelites would still be worshiping false gods. They would still be worshiping creations of their own feeble hands and skills. Instead, God Almighty, the one who created the universe with his hands and everything in it, delivered them, rescued them, gave blessings and promises to them. So Joshua sums up God's deliverance by saying, none of this was done by your sword or your bow. I, the Lord, gave you a land on which you had not labored. I gave you cities that you dwell in, which you did not build. I gave you farmland. I gave you vineyards. I gave you olive orchards that you did not plant. Every aspect of their rescue, their deliverance, their blessing is accomplished and given to them by God's mighty hand. The bottom line is that Israel, as a people, they're completely passive in their salvation. God chose them and claimed them as his own, not the other way around. This is the first part of Joshua's sermon to the people, his last message to them. And then we get to verse 14, which our text has here. And at verse 14, it's like Joshua draws a line in the sand, like an old Western movie where you have, I always think of, it's not very old and it's not totally Western, but I think of The Three Amigos with Chevy Chase and you know, just a great movie in general. They draw a line in the sand, and one person is standing on one line and the others are standing on the other line, other side, and they say, if you're with me, you know, walk across the line. It's like Joshua does that, but it's a little bit different. Because here, when Joshua draws the line in the sand, he and all the people are already standing on the right side of the line. Joshua draws a line, but they're already on the right side. They're on the correct side of the line. And as they begin to live as God's people in the land that he has promised to them and gave them and delivered them, the question is are the people going to continue to serve the Lord who has so faithfully and wonderfully served them? Will they continue in faith to obey and trust the Lord? So Joshua says, since God has done all this for you, revere the Lord. Serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the false gods and serve the Lord. When Joshua says put away false gods, it's not like the people are walking around with little carved statues or idols in their pockets or in their saddlebags or whatever. They're not walking around with a traveling shrine to whatever god, Marduk or whatever. It's that Joshua knows his people. He knows their tendencies. He knows the human heart. He knows that when they were in battle and in trial, that it was actually easier to serve the Lord there, to have faith in him, because they could see clearly that God was doing amazing things. But as they get comfortable, as they start to live in the land that God has given them, as they live at a time where there is no war, will they continue to serve the Lord, or will they begin to trust in themselves, trust in other gods, other things? Will they give their worship somewhere else? So Joshua implores them to instead continue to serve the Lord, to serve the Lord. The key here is that serving the Lord isn't going to be some salvific thing for them. It's not a matter of them saving themselves. It doesn't mean that it earns their salvation. Instead, it reflects it. Serving the Lord reflects what God has done for them. Worshiping God, giving God, obeying God's commands reflects what God has done for them. It is a result of faith. And then we come to verse 15, where Joshua says, "If you are unwilling," literally he says, "if you find it to be evil to serve the Lord, then choose who you would serve, the gods of your ancestors whom they made with their own hands, or the gods of those in whose land you are now living, whom the Lord just conquered." There's almost a sense of sarcasm that Joshua is using here, because the choice is obvious. God has been so good to them, why would you think he is evil? To serve the one who has done so much for them, it just makes sense. How could one possibly see serving such a God of deliverance and promise to be evil? But just in case, Joshua makes it clear where he stands, and he says that great line, "As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." We're staying on this side of the line. Now the people respond really well to Joshua's sermon, his last message here, because the prospect of serving someone or something other than the Lord God Almighty really horrifies them. "Far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. God brought us up out of slavery. He protected us and drove out our enemies. He is our God." In faith, they respond to Joshua's sermon. They can hear the word of God. They receive it and they understand it, that God has done so much for them. How can we possibly forsake what God has done? The story of Joshua and the people of God is pretty much our story as well. Just as God did great things for the people of Israel in ages past, God has also done great things for us. You were lost in your sin, mired in it. You were born into it, but on the cross, Christ paid for it. He defeated our ancient enemy, the devil. He defeats the world. He defeats our own sinful selves. He wins for us forgiveness and salvation. On the cross and through our baptism, where we are claimed by God, our death, his death becomes our death. And his resurrection to life becomes our resurrection to life. God plucked you out of slavery to sin, just as he plucked Israel out of Egypt and delivered them. Through the cross, Christ destroys our enemy. The victory is his. God's forgiveness for you through the cross, the debt he has paid for you that you could not pay yourself, is like freely living in a mansion that you have nothing to do with. It's just given to you. You get to enjoy every room. You get to enjoy the fruit of the vineyard that you did not inherit. So living the life of faith that God has invited you into and blessed you with, it causes you a desire to serve the Lord. It causes in you as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. What can we do otherwise? It's like Peter says in the gospel, to whom can we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we have believed it. Where else can we go? We know what you've done. We can see what you've done for us. What can we possibly do? What other choice do we have? And so we embrace the Lord who has done so much for us and continues to watch over us because, like the people of Israel, we proclaim that He is our God and there is not another. Let us pray.